Blog Talk Radio.
Said it 1,000 times, I have to say it one more time. I love that tune. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another segment of ER, LSEC Radio. This is your host, Teresa Banks, and I wish you all the greetings in the world. I don't know where it is in your neck of the woods, but I want to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, regardless of where you are. I am in the Chicagoland area, the Windy City, and I tell you, we have lived up to our name over the past few days. It's been windy, it's been chilly, but you know what? Every day, especially above ground, is still a good day. Well, I am talking today about what I think is a fascinating subject, and the title I've called this show is Gaming versus Gambling. Now, I have to tell you up front that as I discuss this subject matter, what gaming means to me is not what the youngsters consider it today. You know, our young people are using computer games and computer game consoles, and not just our young people, but I know there are young adults, sometimes older adults, that use gaming systems as well. And so as I go through today's program, just keep in the back of your head that I'm not referring to those type of gaming systems unless they truly have a gaming element to them. You can just assume I'm not referring to those. So I thought I would start off today's program by giving you a little bit about my family's history with gaming and with gambling. And Lord knows my family is deeply rooted in both. I can remember growing up that we had various gaming devices similar to the gaming consoles that I mentioned, like Atari and such. But when I think about the gaming in the sense that I am referring to today, I think about the times when my grandfather used to love playing cards. And I've mentioned on this program a number of times I was raised by my grandparents. And my grandfather was a card player, and baby, he loved to shoot dice. And there were constantly days where he would get together with a number of cousins that would come over to our tiny apartment. And we were in a 2.5-roomed apartment, so it wasn't a huge space at all. And he would divide up the sections of that tiny apartment. There were French doors that would separate the two rooms, and the little half space was just for the bathroom. So he would close those French doors off, and he and my cousins would have a time shooting their dice and playing their cards. The house would just be filled with smoke. And when I say the house, again, I'm still referring to our tiny apartment. It would just be filled with smoke. I mean, we obviously didn't know about the dangers of secondhand smoke back in the day. And booze, also known as alcohol, would be freely flowing along with food. There would just be tons of food. And these folks, honey, they would be up playing all night long, often for money. I would say probably 99.99% of the time they would be playing for some type of dollars, sometimes for quarters, you know, not serious money. And I love the days when my grandfather would clear off the kitchen table and cover it with a blanket so that the dice could roll across it. And it's kind of funny because typically back in those days, you would see grown men on the corners down on their knees throwing dice across the cement pavement, and you would just watch them, you know, screaming at these dice and calling out for typical dice rolls. And I can't remember how craps, as the dice game is called, was played back then, but I remember they would be yelling things out, ha, ha, seven, ha, eight, you know, whatever different numbers that they wanted, they would be yelling them out. And I think snake eyes is something they were trying to stay away from, if I can remember. And when they would play cards, they would place the cards up on their foreheads, talking loud, you know, just talking smack, if you will, calling each other's bluff in regards to which card game they were playing and what card they were actually holding. And it would just be quite amusing to watch this whole thing take place. And a lot of times my middle sister and I would be in the other room watching TV, but sometimes we would peek behind those French door curtains to see what was going on, and we obviously, with the tiny space, couldn't help but hear it. But it would truly be amazing and interesting to hear and to see. And then those relatives that were tired wouldn't even go home. I mean, at the end of it all, at whatever hour of the night, midnight, 3 in the morning, whatever, they would just bunk right at our place. So they would either sleep on the couch or a lot of times sleep on the floor. So that was the time of my grandfather days. And then after not being raised by my grandfather any longer, after he passed away in my early teens, I then moved in to live with my dad and his wife, my stepmother, and I would watch my father, my aunts, and then their kids, my cousins on that side of the family, if you will. The other cousins I mentioned were from my grandmother's side, and these cousins would be from my grandfather's side, and they would continue with the card playing, but they would also add on playing the horses or racetrack playing, if you will. And they would play for long periods of time, again for money, crisscrossing hours of lost sleep, and a lot of times days, because sometimes they would play across a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you have all of these hours of sleep that's missed and all of this time wrapped into play. And then finally, the area that I want to mention still today, still with my dad, my stepmother, my aunts, cousins, friends, other family members, and even my neighbors now, as well as myself and my spouse, have engaged in the latest gambling activity of riverboat casinos. And with these casinos, I mean, they know how to draw you in, whether they be a distance away in Las Vegas or as close as Indiana or Aurora near the Chicagoland area. They will offer you free buffets, free room stays, even free comp dollars that they placed on your player's card, all to woo you into coming to their location to play. And you're sitting up there and you're thinking, you know, I'm feeding my money into this machine. Am I crazy? You know, you really kind of wonder, I guess, about your mentality as you're playing. But that's like the latest craze these days. And so if I were to break the two down then for you, the areas that I call gaming versus gambling, when I think of gaming then, I think of a person who's out there having fun and doing the things I mentioned, playing the cards, shooting the dice, playing the horse racing, going to the river boat casinos with money that they're okay really in losing. And it really should be minimal money. I mean, you shouldn't be okay in losing every little available free amount of money that you have. But when I think of, again, from the gaming side, I'm thinking this is just money you're fine with. If you come back with nothing from those dollars, you're okay with it. Won't make or break you. And it's also a time where you're doing it for fun. It's not a habitual thing. And then, finally, from a gaming aspect, I think that it's done where it's not causing conflict with other things in your life, like paying bills or your family's livelihood and them making it and them doing other things. Now, on the flip side, when I think about gambling then I think about something that's needed, something where every time you get a free dollar, you feel like you have to spend it. Something that feels certainly addictive, kind of like a drug. You know, there's some people that say there's this mental thing that happens when you're gambling, almost where it feels like you're having a sexual encounter. So that's where you certainly know you've crisscrossed over into a gambling aspect of it all. And then it's done almost unconsciously with backlash that can truly be too much to bear, anywhere from degrading your credit to your family suffering in some way, in the sense that, you know, you didn't pay the rent, you didn't pay the mortgage, now you're affecting your family, their light bills, gas bills, or clothes the kids may need, and all those things are not being taken care of because of your gambling habit. It could also affect your job because you may say to yourself, hey, you know, if I'm up half the night, I'm in some casino until 3 in the morning, and I start work the next day at 8, you're not going to get a whole lot of sleep. And so you're coming in fatigued, or maybe you're not coming in at all. So it could start affecting your job. And then also, you may feel that you have to start taking loans out so that you can continue such a habit. And the latest thing today, the latest craze again, if you will, in regards to that, are these payday loans where people are writing these checks, leaving a check, if you will, they're getting money, and then if they don't pay it by a certain time, it's almost a double, tripled amount that they would have to come up with. So you definitely don't want to reach over into an area where you've moved from gaming, where it's all about fun, a good time, and using disposable cash, to gambling, where it's become addictive, habitual, and dangerous in a sense. And what I did is I went out to a website, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard of this company called Gamblers Anonymous. And when I went out to their website, and I'll give you the website address here in just a second, I saw 20 questions on how one can recognize whether or not they are a compulsive gambler. And I actually want to read off all 20 of these questions to you. And then afterwards I will give you the website address on how you can reach them, a phone number, and et cetera. So question number one from the Gamblers Anonymous website says, did you ever lose time from work or school due to gambling? Number two says, has gambling ever made your home life unhappy? Number three, did gambling affect your reputation? Number four, have you ever felt remorse after gambling? Number five, did you ever gamble to get money with which to pay debts or otherwise solve financial difficulties? Number six, did gambling cause a decrease and your ambition or efficiency? Number seven, after losing, did you feel you must return as soon as possible and win back your losses? Number eight, after a win, did you have a strong urge to return and win more? Number nine, did you often gamble until your last dollar was gone? Number 10, did you ever borrow to finance your gambling? Number 11, have you ever sold anything to finance gambling? Number 12, were you reluctant to use gambling money for normal expenditures? Number 13, did gambling make you careless of the welfare of yourself or your family? Number 14, did you ever gamble longer than you had planned? Number 15, have you ever gambled to escape worry, trouble, boredom, or loneliness? Number 16, have you ever committed or considered committing an illegal act to finance gambling? Number 17, did gambling cause you to have difficulty in sleeping? Number 18, do arguments, disappointments, or frustrations create within you an urge to gamble? Number 19, did you ever have an urge to celebrate any good fortune by a few hours of gambling? And number 20, have you ever considered self-destruction or suicide as a result of your gambling? You know, as I think about all these different questions, I can honestly say I've had friends and family, even myself, answer yes to some of these questions. Like when I think about times I'll sit around the house and I'm just bored, I might go out to a riverboat casino and just do some gambling. Or I may feel remorse. Like, you know, even though I had the extra funds to spend, was it really worth spending it on something where I have nothing tangible? Nothing at all tangible to see behind using those funds. But I really want you to sit through and think about those questions. And again, they can be found at the Gamblers Anonymous website to really get an idea of whether or not you may be a compulsive gambler so that you can start working on fixing this problem. As they have on their website, it could be something that can result in self-destruction. So you really want to think about, you know, how can I take care of myself? How can I get this taken care of and straightened out? Now, Gamblers Anonymous has an international office, and their address is Gamblers Anonymous, International Service Office, P.O. Box 17173, Los Angeles, California, 90017 is the zip code. And then I also want to give you a couple of phone numbers on how to reach them. There's a telephone number of 626-960-3500, a fax number of 626-960-3501. They have an email address of isomain@gamblersanonymous.org. So certainly reach out to them and contact them if you need to. And then the website address itself is gamblersanonymous.org. They have places that you can go where they have either online information you can get, or you can go to various meetings that are held. They also have a toll-free number that you can call and reach them at as well, and that number is 888-GA-HELPS. That's 888-GA-HELPS. So, again, reach out if you need to get help, because those are all signs of someone that may have a serious gambling problem. And as I tend to look at it, I say to myself initially, is this something that could be turned off and turned on? Is it something where, again, you answered all those different questions and then you say in your head, you know, I can just turn this off. It's not that big of a deal if I don't go to a casino, if I don't go place a bet on horse racing, if I don't do my roll of the dice, and I can be okay. And even from an aspect with our younger people that are on these video games, I mean, we can almost look at them and say, are they addicted to playing? Because I've known adults where they played these video games, they'd be up half the night, and there are some shows like South Park that had their little cartoonish and animated kids be up half the night playing these video games. And when you have something like that, where it's impacting your life, you're unable to really function in the world, if you will, because you're so caught up in these games, then you really have to take a look at that. And I would be one who would extend it out not just with the gaming and the gambling, but there's a whole lot of things that we tend today to become addicted to and not even realize it, even with our cell phone usage and our computer usage. But Lord knows that would be a whole other show in regards to being addictive to the devices that we use. So I hope all of this information provided to you today has been beneficial. And as I've gone through my little family history here with you, it's something that's really gone through our bloodlines, from rolling the dice and playing card games to going to these riverboat casinos. And, you know, with these casinos, they can be even more dangerous because, you know, you'll be in there. And I've watched people use credit cards. I've watched them write checks. I've watched them use their ATM cards to get additional funds once they've lost money. And it can really become this nonstop thing. Again, if you're not going with disposable cash, where you look up, and it truly can destroy you. So please be careful. Please replay this show as often as you need to and take heed to all of the warnings that have been said. Now, as I wrap up today's show, I want to tell you about a couple of happenings that I have. So I'm going to take a line here break. I'm going to play just a little quick music as a little separator, and I'll be right back to tell you about some upcoming events that I have going on that I would love for you to participate in. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. This is Teresa, and you have been listening to LSEC Radio. And I just wrapped up my discussion on gaming. I'm having problems saying both these words today. On gaming versus gambling. And I hope that the information provided today has truly been useful. On this little portion of the show, as I wrap up the program today, I wanted to just tell you some events that are coming up, so that you have details on what's happening. And these are in the Chicagoland area. I hope you can swing by and say hello. The first event that's coming up is on October 24th. I'll be teaching a class entitled Surviving a Layoff. It'll be held at South Suburban College, and you do need to register directly at the school. The cost of the class is $29, and it'll run from 7:30 at night until 9:30. And it is a very beneficial class. I mean, it covers different information that could be found in my book called Surviving a Layoff. And it really walks you through, just step by step, how you can make it, anywhere from getting your funds that you have available together to putting together a better resume on out. So, again, you register through the school. If you want more details about that, then drop me an email. And then the next event that I have coming up on November 3rd, that's going to be an awesome event. Every year, there's a bookstore called Books, Inc., and they have their annual author showcase. And whenever I can, I participate in this event. And this year will be the first year that I participate where I have several different products, not only in the book realm, but jewelry as well. I've never brought jewelry out. And this will be the very first time that I'll have pieces that I made. So not only will you have an opportunity to purchase all four of my books, but my new jewelry line as well. So I can't wait to showcase that. That will be a lot of fun. It will be in the city of Chicago at the Woodson Library on 95th and Halsted. And if you'd like more information about that, certainly let me know. There is no cost to get in. It is a free event. And you'll have a chance to meet not only myself, but other local authors that are in the area. We'll discuss our books within the auditorium, and we will all have them for sale as well. So it should be a great event on that particular day. So as I wrap up today, I want to remind you of my email address, bemailtobanks@aol.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L, the number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, at AOL.com, and I will respond as quickly as possible. I want to also remind you that I have 4 books that are always for sale on Amazon.com, and they are entitled Woman of Integrity, Becoming a Published Author, Barrenhood, and Surviving a Layoff. And just a reminder, too, become a friend or a follower of the show. Go out to blogtalkradio.com/Elasec, with Elasec being spelled E-L-L-A-C-E-C, and make sure that you become a friend or a follower of the show so that you know what is going on. And I know there are times I've received some feedback in regards to some programs that I may cancel at the drop of a dime, and I apologize for that. One most recent was in regards to the presidential and the vice presidential debates, and I decided not to do a show on that and to stay away from that political umbrella for the time being. I might circle back and do it later, but I do apologize. Sometimes we have to do those last-minute show drops. I have tried to never do that when I have guests that are booked, but with the shows I do individually, sometimes due to my schedule, time, or last-minute preference, I may decide not to do a show. With that said, I hope that you have enjoyed today's program, and I want to give you a quick heads up that by March of 2013, that's when I plan on having book number 5 out. It will be religious-based, and as I do program after program between now and next year, I'll give you more and more tidbits about it. It will be the first of my 5 books that I'll have by then that will be ebook available. And I'll see if I can make the others available by ebook as well. I hope that you have a fabulous day today, a fabulous upcoming week. Don't forget to, again, drop me emails to say hello and to give me your feedback. I do read them all. I appreciate your support, and I hope that you have a blessed, blessed day. Take care, all. Thanks again.